Shotgun snap to Jackson. He's going to throw deep down the right side looking for Brown. Jackson is there. And J.C. Jackson with another interception. He lands with a diving pick at the six-yard line. And that's an interception in five consecutive games for J.C. Jackson.
Interception by J.C. Jackson. Fifth straight game where he's had an interception. That was after a bad week last week against the New York Jets. Avidia Bank and Stephon Gilmore have teamed up for Be a Champion for a Child to benefit the Boys and Girls Club of Metro West. And New England's defense, of course, forced that one turnover tonight. So Avidia Bank donates $1,000 to help at-risk children. They've now donated $15,000 this season. Avidia Bank, honest to goodness, member FDIC, member DIF. This is the Shaw's Patriots post-game show. Jim Murray, Joe Murray, and we welcome in Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. Greg, the Patriots run the ball 39 times tonight. Damian Harris looks like the bell cow running back that Sony Michel never was. Offensive line, I'm sure you were very excited with their performance tonight. Is this the offense overall that a lot of Patriots fans or you expected to see going into this season?
Yeah, I would say so, Jim. I think, you're talking about an offense that, look, really before the season, by now you figured they would have been more advanced, but that's just not, that wasn't in the cards for whatever reason, whether it be Cam's COVID, the lack of practice time, or, around the team. This is probably not where they imagined they would be at this point in the season. It's just where they are. And so, I wouldn't say this is by design bully ball, but I think this is what they have to do at this point. This is what they think they can do at this point. And, I thought it worked really well for the most part. There was certainly, the end of the game, basically to end with three punts in a row was tough. And they could have put this game away by, scoring any sort of points there in the fourth quarter. But I think they were more of, let's just not turn the ball over. Let's play field position, make it as tough on the Ravens as possible. But you got to hand it to them. I mean, this is a team that really, if you look at it, they scored three straight touchdowns, and if they didn't sort of botch second and third down from about the 2-yard line, they could have scored four touchdowns in a row. And I think about 2 weeks ago, or even last week, if you would have told anybody that the Patriots are going to score on four straight drives, score touchdowns, at least, they put up three, I think people would have said you were crazy.
Yeah, Greg, I thought it would be a long game, a boring game. I was surprised at times. I got excited at times. But in the end, I feel like maybe it's not his best masterpiece, but this was a Bill Belichick-designed game. And I don't know, that excites me. The fact that we finally saw the coach put something together, you saw rookies on the field making plays, and he out-coached Harbaugh today. And to me, that's exciting. But did you see this coming today?
Well, I certainly thought that it would be close, and I did not expect the blowout. And, that's what I wrote this week. That's what I talked about on my podcast toward the end of the week with Nick Cattles, is that I did not rule out the chance of an upset. I did not have the cojones to pick the Patriots to win this game. I think I picked the Ravens 24-20. I picked the Patriots to cover the point spread. I just thought when I watched the film of this Ravens team, I saw a team that was completely different than the one that we saw last year. I mean, I don't get to watch a whole lot of NFL games, so this was really my first exposure to this year's version of the Ravens. And, I know there's a lot of talk about Lamar Jackson and the predictability of the offense, but, to me, what I saw, this is a team similar to the Patriots in that they have to play a certain style. And if they can't play that style, then they have trouble beating just about anybody. And, for them to really play well, Lamar Jackson has to be very dangerous with his feet. I thought the Patriots did a nice job today, basically corralling him. I think he averaged 5 or 6 yards a carry. But what I saw on film was the biggest thing for me that jumped out was their offensive line. And for them to go from having Ronnie Stanley, probably the best left tackle in the game, and then also Marshall Yanda at right guard, Yander retires, Stanley suffers a season-ending injury. They had another injury to the guard, and what I saw was an offensive line that was very slow. It was unathletic. It didn't match up with Jackson and their running backs and their receivers. So they haven't been able to establish a rhythm, and I thought the Patriots could exploit that a little bit to at least keep the game close. And, you know, but I was very surprised that the Patriots offense was able to be as productive as they were in the middle part of the game.
Well, Greg, you tell me, because I also felt like the Ravens offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, didn't help matters either. You know, that fourth and one play is inexcusable. You take the ball out of Lamar Jackson's hands. Your center can't snap it correctly. It's raining. That was bad. And he takes one shot at Marquise Brown the whole game, and that's the one that's picked off by J.C. Jackson. Like, I felt like their game plan was real wonky.
Yeah, well, I certainly agree on the fourth down play, and I think that's a case where, you know, the offensive coordinator coming into the game, they really like that play, but then they don't really adjust for, you know, the elements and what was going on the field. Because I think if you would have told Greg Roman in the middle of the week, like, look, we might be playing in a monsoon, I think he would have taken that play out. But, you know, you get panicked, you look down at your play sheet, that Wildcat plays on there, and you're like, all right, well, we like this play for a reason, but it just wasn't going to work. I think the Patriots, you know, Joe mentioned about the coaching, and I completely agree. I thought Belichick was much more engaged in this game. This is a familiar opponent, certainly one that they probably game planned for in the offseason because they were a little bit embarrassed when they went down to Baltimore. So they wanted to have a different plan. They probably worked on some of it even before the season. And I thought, look, it's not exciting. It's boring as hell. I think Jim probably wants to put his head through a wall, but this is pretty much the way these Patriots have to play at this point. And I know it's frustrating, probably, especially in the fourth quarter, watching the Patriots run a lot inside and this and that. But I think at certain points of the game, Belichick is just telling McDaniels, like, look, we can't afford a turnover. And I think if I'm not mistaken, I think this was the second straight game without a turnover.
Yep.
And that's pretty much what this team has to do. I mean, you just see it. Like, they didn't have a turnover either the last 2 weeks, and they basically won by less than a score both times. It's that their margin for error is that small that one turnover could lose a game for them. And so I know it's boring, and I know Joe Murray's probably also throwing things against the wall, but this is the way the Patriots have to play. They have to go into sometimes just don't turn the ball over. Don't throw the ball. Don't run outside. Anything that might turn the ball over, because they can't afford it.
Yeah, Greg, again, for me, I was just excited to see something different tonight. Like, you know, Josh Uche's out there getting a sack. Chase Winovich is playing a real linebacker role. Kyle Duggar is making plays on the football field all week long. For the last few weeks, Bill Belichick has said questionable things to the media or on radio broadcasts, you name it. And finally, the things that we've been complaining about, we saw tonight. So that's what I'm excited about. But I just have one question for you. Like, scheme-wise, anyone who ever played football in their life and you're a defensive end, you set the edge. Like, John Simon didn't set the edge early, and Jonathan Jones whiffed big time. What changed? What changed? They came down the field. They scored right away. The Patriots come down and score another touchdown. But did they make a move on defense? Was it a personnel move? How did they hold the edge the rest of the way?
I think they just, knowing them, they probably just put more of an emphasis on it. And I know there were a few times I saw Belichick, like, screaming at Anthony Jennings that, like, he was, you know, not filling the right gap. Or, you know, I thought Belichick talking to Jonathan Jones for a while, and really these are the type of games where it's really do your job. And I think they had some problems, and we saw this last year. The Ravens are fine to plan for, and you might even have, say, Jonathan Jones or somebody fast play Lamar Jackson in practice, but once you see it on the field, it's much different, and it takes time to adjust. And I thought the Patriots adjusted much better, but you're right about, you know, getting the youngsters involved. Chase Winovich playing more of a stand-up role was something I asked about very early on in the season, because I could just see where this was going inside linebacker for this team. And I think he has some potential there. I, you know, when I was watching him in the stadium, you know, even on his drops in the coverage, they were pretty good for a guy who has mostly played on the edge. And so I think they have something there. And I think Duggar, it was good to see him get involved. I don't know why he hasn't been. It seems like they like to put him more in games where the defense has to be a little bit more aggressive, and they could definitely use his speed out there. So, but you're right. I think it was a positive step forward for a lot of these guys on defense, and that's a defense that needs young legs, because when they're not out there, They look old, tired, and slow. And tonight they did not look like that.
All right, you want to get on with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal? Give us a ring, 617-779-0985. More coming up with Greg, and that will include if Cam Newton is going to be in this team's future plans for 2021. More on tonight's win over the Baltimore Ravens and more. Again, if you want to join the show, 617-779-0985. That's going to be coming up here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show on the Safety Insurance 98.5 Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network.
Newton with a play fake. Drop back, fires down the middle. Catch by Myers across the 40. He's drilled at the 44. But
yeah.
Jacoby with a
go.
Flag on the play. Picks up a first down on the quick hitter. Knocked to the turf by Deshaun Elliott. May have come in with a helmet lowered.
Yep. Leading with the helmet. Top of the helmet.
Second personal foul on the Ravens.
Good tough catch.
Personal
right there.
Foul. Lowering the helmet to initiate contact. Defense number 32. This 15-yard penalty will be added to the end of the play. It's first down.
Cam Newton there to Jacoby Myers for 19 yards before the penalty. That's part of the Bay Coast Bank catch recap here in the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Bay Coast Bank and N'Keal Harry have teamed up for Catches for College to create college scholarships for youth in their community. New England's offense had 14 catches tonight, so Bay Coast Bank donates $700 towards college scholarships. They've donated $8,600 so far this season. Bay Coast Bank, do what's just right. Jim Murray and Joe Murray, along with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal, talking about the Patriots' 23-17 win over the Baltimore Ravens tonight. Quickly, Greg, on those targeting penalties, I feel like I haven't seen many of those called in a while, and you had a few tonight. Did one of the coaches speak up about that, or was just this crew, I don't know, looking for that going into this game for some reason?
Yeah, I just think that it was a point of emphasis probably by the league. I didn't see it called in many other games that I watched earlier in the day, but maybe the memo didn't get to that those crews, but it did to this one. But I'm all in favor of those calls. I think that the head needs to be taken out, both offensively and defensively. And I thought those were needless headshots that should have been called.
And on Jacoby Myers, did we all just kind of sleep on this kid, or is this just the progression of growth that you sometimes see with a player in the NFL?
Yeah, he certainly needed a chance. You know, for various reasons, you know, which I think were valid. You know, N'Keal Harry was getting a chance since he hadn't played a full season yet, and I still don't think he's played a full NFL season. And Damir Bird was brought in, and Edelman was out there, so it was tough to find playing time. And you know, I don't think it was any grand conspiracy or any, you know, bad coaching or judgment by the coaching staff. I just think it was circumstances, and as a player, you look for an opportunity and cash in on those opportunities, and certainly Jacoby Myers has done that. And I thought tonight was a significant step forward for him, because that's a good secondary, and you figured that their man-to-man tendencies would shut those players down a little bit. I don't know how much Cam's presence affected that in terms of them playing a little bit more zone, but certainly Myers did a really nice job again tonight.
On that Myers touchdown pass, I'm watching it. I'm on my couch. I see him slightly go in motion. He stares at Cam Newton. He catches the football, and I knew he was going to throw it. How do I know it? How do they not prepare for it? He was covered. He was covered, had no pressure. Someone even covered Cam Newton on the play. He mentioned that after the game there, but I just feel like that's a mishap on Harbaugh. Like, you got to know that guy in any situation, former quarterback, could throw. We all knew it. I don't think they prepared for it at all, Greg.
Yeah, I just was looking at Harbaugh's transcript, and he was asked about that, and he said they expected them to do it, and he also said that he said, yeah, we talked about it all week. We practiced it. I think we had it covered, but Patrick Queen just hesitated just a little bit, and he did. I mean, I wouldn't say it was, you know, watching these other NFL games today, which was probably the most I've seen in one day in a long time, you see a lot of wide open guys, especially on misdirection. The Dolphins had a wide open touchdown in the flat, and at least Burkhead wasn't wide buck open. I mean, at least the Ravens made him actually have to make a diving catch. But I mean, what a beautiful throw by Jacoby, and I'm pretty confident in saying that was probably the best thrown ball that the Patriots have had all season, and it was from a receiver.
No doubt, it really
it was a dime. I don't think you're joking.
Yeah.
That was a dime.
All right, Brent in Shrewsbury. You're on here with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Go ahead, Brent.
Hey, guys. It was a beautiful throw. I wanted to talk a little about Cam staying and also Jacoby Myers too. So after what we saw earlier, upset victory, I would say it's fair to, and this is where I'm at, is I'm on the fence, right? If he plays pretty well the rest of the year, I would definitely say, okay, I'll consider keeping him next year. Seems to be a leadership quality there with this team. And if things seem to go back under again, definitely don't want him next year. You know, right in the middle, I think, is fair. See how he does. And on Jacoby Myers, I don't know if you guys remember, there was a 3rd-and-3 play late in the fourth that I thought they might run and be conservative. And he had a little 3.5-yard pass to Jacoby Myers where he really didn't even run a route. He kind of just scooched up, turned around, fell backwards. And I like those plays out of Jacoby and Cam. I don't think that's a strength. So I think they have something there. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brent. On Cam, Greg, has he been making progress here, you think, these last couple of weeks? Enough to consider maybe bringing him back in another one-year deal next year?
Yeah, I do, and I think we talked about that a little bit on Tuesday on Felger and Maz. We did discuss it because I think Beadle and Zoe pulled it and talked about it the next day as, you know, sort of a shocking revelation. I base that a lot on what I'm hearing from people around the team. Like, they have, and you heard it from the TV crew tonight, which was nauseating listening to those guys. They're not just blowing smoke when they talk about the leadership and how much people love Cam in the building. I mean, you know, you're talking about people who were, people who had been with Tom Brady a long time, who love Tom Brady and who just, they just rave about Cam Newton and the leadership and what he's brought, the intangibles he's brought to the team. Sure, it hasn't translated on the field as much to this point. But again, I think that's a lot of it is a victim of circumstances, and I think the team views it that way. And I do think what I said on Felger and Maz, I think, does hold true. I think that the Patriots are just in a position where they just have to wait out the end of the season, see what happens. You never know what's going to happen. You never know how Cam's going to look, and then sort of make a decision from there. But they're also going to look at the global picture. Like, you know, what's the deal with the Jets? Is Sam Darnold going to come available? What about Garoppolo? And they're going to weigh all these things and also cost and things like that. And so I think the book has not been written on Cam yet in New England. I think he can come back at least as a bridge guy. I think they would be happy with that if he continues to make progress. And I do think he has made some progress. I don't know if I saw it tonight, but I definitely saw it in the previous two games. But the bottom line is the game plans have been very basic. And if they are really going to make a run here at the end, it's going to have to start progressing. Maybe not this week, you know, with the conditions and the Ravens, but next week against the Texans, you'd like to see them risk a little bit more because they can't keep playing like this and chase the playoffs. It's just not going to happen.
Hey, Greg, just real quick, you mentioned next year and everything with Cam Newton. Is there anyone you see that has progressed with him on the field? Like, you thought it would be Harry, right? And Myers could have played a little bit last year. Is there anyone you've seen that's truly progressed because of this, which makes him worth sticking around next year?
Well, I don't think I just don't think they view it that way. I think they view it as, you know, can he execute the offense? I could tell you that they are certainly intrigued by having an athletic quarterback that gives them that option, especially if they're not going to be able just to turn over the skill positions in one offseason. I think, you know, we can put all the blame we want on Cam, but I think a lot of that has to do with what's around him. I think they view it that way. And so, you know, with better players, guys that sort of suit Cam a little bit more instead of just sort of shoehorning him in at the last minute, I think that's appealing to the Patriots. But again, we're going to have to see how the final games play out before they entertain that.
All right, more coming up with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. You want to get on with the 617-779-0985. More of your calls will be coming up here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. First, though, we'll get the headlines, the latest from Joe Murray, but let's pause 10 seconds here on the Safety Insurance 98.5 Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network.
First and 10 out of the eye from the 41. Newton turns and gives it to Harris. Runs it through the middle. A big crease. Caught right at the 50. Runs it past the 45. Girl. Hit and spins away from Humphrey and eventually plummets at the 34-yard line.
Keep feeding him.
Damian Harris, 25-yarder there, part of the New England forward rushing update. Harris, 22 carries for 131 tonight, a career best for him. Your New England Ford dealers, where the Ford built for the holiday sales event is kicking off with great deals across the Ford lineup. Hurry in for the best selection at your New England Ford dealer. This is the Shaw's Patriots post-game show. Jim Murray and Joe Murray, joined by Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. And so it was another good night for Damian Harris. Sony Michel has clearly lost the job as the number one back on this team, Greg. I don't think that there's I'm speaking out of turn when I say something like that. But I have to ask, seeing as good as this kid looked, and I remember you and others raving about him in the camp that he had, why didn't we see him at all last year? Like, this team had issues offensively in short yardage situations. I remember the wild card game against Tennessee where they're having issues at the one. Why didn't they play him more last year? Was he just not ready?
It's a great question, Jim. I think the Patriots especially were in a place where they were looking for all sorts of playmakers. And I think if they thought that Damian Harris could really do it, I think he would have been out there. I mean, you even look tonight, most of the time when the game book after the game has this thing called miscellaneous statistics report, and it gives you like the top 10 longest plays. And right now, all the Patriots plays, and I think they always list 10 of them for each teams, they're all over, they're 12 yards or more. I think it's been a long time since I've seen that. Most of the time, there's only like five or six plays in double digits. And so, Harris gives you, that big play ability. And I think Harris had at least four of them. That he didn't play last year, and I'm sure he showed some of this on the field. My only explanation is that they didn't trust him, that he wasn't picking up the scheme well enough or whatnot, because I can't see the Patriots holding back a player who is talented enough to play and just not having him play. I just don't see it. Certainly them being healthy in the backfield didn't help matters, but if he could play, he would have been out there. They didn't think he could play last year.
He's a joy to watch. Kid runs mean. Like, he's just dragging dudes, whether it's like an ISO run, a sweep, whatever. Like, he does it all. Like, he's good. He's everything that Sony Michel isn't.
Absolutely. I mean, he's phenomenal. And one person who sort of described it best to me, and this was, very early on when he was getting his chance, said when Damian Harris touches the ball, you have a feeling that it could go for a touchdown at any moment. Mm-hmm. And with Sony Michel, you had the feeling that it could be a 6-yard gain pretty much at maximum. So they see it, and he, the kid hits the hard hole. It hits the hole hard. Sorry, it's getting a little late.
Yeah.
What I love is he's decisive. He's much more physical than I imagined at the end of his runs. He finishes his runs hard, and he can make you miss, but he can also run over you. And those are two areas where I thought Sony Michel was certainly lacking. And yeah, I think there's little chance that Sony Michel gets his job back. And I would be surprised if the Patriots pushed his activation window as far as possible, just to see what happens health-wise.
Just going to ask about that. Could we ever see a Michelle Harris backfield at some point? And I wanted to bring up something about Harris.
I hope not.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think
I'll go with Burkhead and Harris.
Well,
that's
listen,
fine with me.
Burkhead's a great change of pace back. Let's call it what it is. Yep. He had a great night tonight. Can catch, and even Cam Newton loves him. And what's happening with James White? Is it just not a fit with Cam Newton? Is it this guy was dynamic, right? I mean, he's probably one of the best catching backs in all football. Is he just not fitting the offense?
No, I think it's no, because I look back at Cam even in Carolina, his checkdowns to McCaffrey and people like that was a big part of what he did, and you figured White would be a match for that. I think his personal situation has maybe been a little bit of a distraction, and he's certainly entitled to that. I'm not saying it's a negative or anything. But yeah, you're right. It hasn't been a good fit. He's still dynamite when he does get the ball most of the time. It's just, I think the Patriots are just trying to advance in other areas, and they know that they always have White when they need him. mean, tonight he made that third and two play, that screen took forever and should have lost about 8 yards, and James White had figured out a way to make a first down. I mean, that just shows his value right there. But, yes, you're right. Certainly it has not been a smooth transition with White and Newton.
John in Maine, you're next here on the Sean's Patriots postgame show. Go ahead, John.
Hey, how's it going? First of all, I just wanted to say that this aesthetic situation with the Patriots, I just want them to run like the wing T, and I want to see like Belichick bring out the 40s Navy offense and just run the ball right up the gut like 50 times a game.
I mean, at times it does seem that slow, John, but I guess, you know, hey, as long as they're winning, I guess we probably shouldn't complain all that much.
But when it comes to Cam Newton, I mean, I feel like it took a long time for him to figure out this offense and for them to figure out him. But to call it like he's done already or they're not ready to move on with him, this has not been a normal offseason. And he seems to improve every week. He takes coaching. And I just don't see somebody at the quarterback position that's going to be better than him moving forward. I mean, maybe Garoppolo, right? But would you pick Sam Darnold right now over him?
Yes. Yeah, I would. Yeah. I would. I mean, because, you know, look, I think there's still a lot of unknown. At the very least, there's still a lot of upside with Sam Darnold. He's very young when he's on and not hurt. You know, he can sling it, unlike Cam Newton. Where I still see red flags, Greg, is where, you know, they're at the goal line and he skips it to Jacoby Myers, doesn't set his feet. The ball sometimes still comes out like it's a long windup, comes out weird. Like, that's still where it's like, oh, man, like, is it the shoulder that's still bugging him? Is the Liz Frank thing with his foot bugging him? Like, it just still looks – it doesn't look right.
Yeah, he's just too far down the road with his mechanics to really do an overhaul. This year, and there are issues with that. I don't think it's anything physical. I don't think there's anything wrong with his shoulder. It's just, you know, I know people aren't used to it, but this is the way he's always thrown, and it's the way he's going to throw. And the Patriots have to figure out whether that's a match for them in their offense going forward. Could be, maybe could not be. You know, but the Patriots also have to find the plays that Cam can execute at a high level, and I think they're really worried about turnovers at this point, and we haven't really seen them cut it loose. Like I said, I hope to see that as we move forward here in the next couple of weeks, because if they can do that and build off what they've already been able to establish offensively, you know, they could be somewhat tough to defend.
No, I was just gonna say I think the team is still hangs on Cam Newton week in and week out though. Right. I mean, like, yeah. There's been games where Brady didn't play well. The defense played well. You know, the defense played well tonight. But what we saw in Lamar Jackson might be what we see week in and week out with Cam Newton. And I just wanted to bring up Lamar Jackson for a minute here. Is obviously, he was the MVP years ago. And now when he's behind in games, he's struggling. Now, you did mention the offensive line. That's legit. But there are games when they had a good offensive line, he's lost. Is there anything you're seeing with him? Because tonight, like, he didn't have it, and he couldn't get to the outside.
Yeah, it's just I do know, you know, coming into this game, he had the Lamar that I saw on film had lost a lot of confidence. I mean, they had it was so bad last week when who did they struggle against?
Indy.
Yes, it was the Indy game. They ended up winning 24-10.
Yeah,
but I think they punted on their first six possessions, and then I think he threw an interception. And it was so bad at one point. And look, the Colts are good on defense. They're fast. They're a matchup problem for the Ravens. But it was so bad in the second half that they went back to really remedial sort of run action, you know, a triple option, pull it back, throw the slant type of stuff that they did when he was a rookie, because he's just lost, you know, a lot of confidence. And I do think it started with the offensive line, not only with the running game, but the pass protection has not been great all the time. I do think that he had time tonight, but he's not seeing the field very well at this point. That was a problem last week. It was probably a problem this week. And when that's happening, all quarterbacks go through it. Brady went through it at times with this team, and it's just tough to get yourself out. But I don't think that's really an indication of what kind of passer he can be in this league. I still think he has a lot of potential. They just got to figure some things out with him.
All right, got another segment to go. Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. You want to get on with him? 617-779-0985. Patriots 23-17 winners over the Baltimore Ravens tonight. Now 4-5 on the season. Next up for them, the Houston Texans. Get a preview. Greg's thoughts on that game coming up here in the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Safety Insurance 98.5 is Sports Hub, Patriots Radio Network.
Toss goes left to the short side for Harris. Hanging speeds across the 40. Slicey pass to 35. Angling to the near sideline. And stepping out of bounds with a first down run at the Baltimore 28.
Someone can run the football, boy.
Woo! Time for the Stop and Shop 5 Yards update. Another nice run there for Damian Harris tonight. The Patriots win over Baltimore, 13-yarder. Stop and Shop and New England running back Sony Michel have teamed up for 5 Yards for Families. For every 5 Yards rushing, Stop and Shop donating 5 bags of groceries for hungry families. New England has rushed for 1,450 yards this season, so Stop and Shop is donating 1,450 bags of groceries, up to 2,500 bags. Good cause there. Shaw's Patriots post-game show. Jim Murray, Joe Murray, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. So, Greg, do you believe in the path now? A little wind in the sails of this team. 2 wins in a row. This is a good team they beat tonight in Baltimore. Do you believe in the path? Did we lose Greg? I think we might have lost.
Sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay.
I was on mute. Sorry.
Oh, sorry about that.
I think you need to do a little Felger on Golden Pond crossover, on Golden Path with Felger this week. Do I believe in the path? I think somewhat, a little bit. I mean, I do think it's challenging. I mean, the Dolphins winning another game today makes it tougher. But I've always thought that the second half of the schedule would give them opportunities. And now I thought they'd be playing a little bit better by this time, but if they can keep improving, yes, I do think they have a chance. I mean, look, to be honest, the Patriots are really ahead of where I thought they would be before the season. I had them starting 4-6, which included a loss at Houston. That's before Houston imploded. So if they can get to 5-5 with the schedule they have down the stretch, yeah, I think, and they keep improving, I do think they have a chance. I think it's going to be really tight. I don't think 9-7 is going to do it for them. I think they need to get to 10-6. I think they have a chance. I don't love their chances, but yeah, it's there.
Yeah, we were trying to figure this out too. So Joe tweeted it. He saw, and I think it's been, you know, few people have reported this, but the Patriots are 2.5-point underdogs at Houston next week. That's a bad Texans team, Greg. Like, how's it even possible?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand that. I mean, you know, you do get the 3 points at home. I was just looking. Yeah, I said, I see an open Houston by 3. It's now 1.5. Houston's still favored, you know, where I'm looking at this line. And so, yeah, I don't really get it. I think they need to let the Sunday night game sink in a little bit. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to write it off with the weather. But I don't think that was a fluke. I don't think that's fair to certainly – the deluge came on that final Ravens possession, but they were out of it by that point. And really, if you look at it, the Patriots were one drive away from knocking out the Ravens, like almost for the entire fourth quarter, which was just stunning. And so I don't think this game was a fluke at all. And I thought that, the Patriots did a really good job. I thought they had a really good plan. I thought they executed it, and they do, like I said, they have a very narrow path on how they can win games, and the coaches are playing to that, and it's boring and infuriating at times, but that's the way they have to play.
And normally the Patriots play better late in years, December.
Yep.
We know all about that record, et cetera. So, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. I do want to ask you this, though. When you watch David Andrews on the field, I know it's boring, offensive line talk, but I think people really need to realize that when this guy's on the football field, he makes the calls, he has the line moving the right way. And Cam Newton, like, needs that. And I think that's one thing, not having the offseason for him. But I noticed it on the field. Maybe you'll see it when you watch the film. But watch how in control Dave Andrews was in tonight's game. And the left side of the line was outstanding tonight. I know Isaiah Wynn gets a lot of heat. But Joe Tooney, you watched some of those runs on the left side tonight. The line was awesome. And I'm ready for your 3-up, 3-down this week. But I hope you give David Andrews some credit. He made all the calls tonight and made things a lot easier for Cam Newton.
I'm sure I will. And Joe, I think your observation is, you know, spot on. And it's actually a lesson that I've learned this year. And I admitted, you know, last year when Andrews went out with the blood clot, you know, I thought that they could overcome it. And look, it wasn't all David Andrews. It was, you know, Shaq Mason took a step back and Marcus Cannon took a step back and they had no blocking from the tight end. So the run blocking was just an issue overall last year. And then this year, again, when David Andrews got hurt again, I didn't think it was a huge deal, especially once Tooney in that first game moved over and he played great. And I didn't think it was a big deal, but those next two games, I just learned my lesson. Like, never underestimate the impact that David Andrews has on this team. He's vitally important. You are absolutely correct in terms of protections and other things. He's driving the bus even more than normal. He does have a huge impact on that, even when Brady was here. But Cam Newton needs a lot of help, and Andrews is giving him that. And also, look, Andrews had a rough game last week. And just like Tooney the week before, Tooney came back last week and had an excellent game after having a bad game. Andrews had a bad game last week. I'm sure he answered the bell. Those are the type of guys that those players are, and they're just invaluable for this team.
Ben and Saugus, you're next here in the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. Hey, Ben.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
No, I was just going to comment on an earlier comment from Greg from James White, and I was just going to say I know the personal reasons are – you know, they are what they are, and I feel for the guy 100%. I just see it as, like, load management, like it has been for the last few years. And, you know, like, let it be load management until we need him. Like, let the path be the path, whatever happens. And I feel like that's why James White isn't here right now, like, making an impact. And, yeah, I don't think it's personal reasons. I just think it's load management like it has been.
They have had him on a pitch count in the past, Greg. Could that be part of it for what Ben's saying there?
I was just looking at the stats. Now, look, Ben is absolutely correct that 3 years ago in 2018 when they had a rash of injuries at running back, and I think that's when Cordarrelle Patterson had to play running back for a stretch. That's how bad it was. He had 181 touches in that season after never having more than 99. So that was way too many. It was double his workload. Last year they cut it down to 139. But even if you, not counting tonight's game, because I don't think these are updated from Pro Football Reference, but he's averaging 7 touches a game, which would, I'm no math major, but that's about 100 touches a game for a season. So I would say, you know, that's where, maybe he's right. Maybe that's where they want him, more around the 100 touch count, but still. You can afford to do those things when you're a little bit more talented. And I think that the Patriots could have used a little bit more James White this season to get the offense and Cam Newton out of some tight spots. I'd like to see him out there a little bit more. But, you know, perhaps Ben's right. You know, that the numbers certainly bear that out, that they're trying to get him back to around the 100 touch count.
Before we let you go, it's now 3 missed games for Stephon Gilmore. Mm. Is the knee injury legit, Greg, or is this something else going on here?
I don't have any inside information. I can tell you that Cam Newton's camp has been very quiet all along, and this includes his little sabbatical during training camp and then the $5 million raise, which I did get confirmation after the fact that that's exactly what – it was a power play by Stephon. And I'm sorry, but it's just I don't have any hard information on this, but my gut tells me from covering the league for almost 20 years that this is a power play by Newton. I think he's throwing a bit of a tantrum.
Gilmore,
the guy Gilmore. Going back to the summer, he wanted to get a contract extension because he realizes he's going to be 31 come next year. He needs to get his contract extension as soon as possible if he wants to be the highest paid cornerback in the league. He knows it's not going to come from the Patriots. He knows what he's supposed to make next year. So he either wanted a contract extension or he wanted to be traded by the deadline. And when he wasn't, I think he's taking his sweet time. And I wouldn't be surprised if behind the scenes this starts to get a little bit more tense between the two sides. Do I think it's going to spill out to a point where the Patriots put him on the do not report list or something like that? I don't know. Gilmore certainly knows how to play the game. I could tell you that much. So he's not going to outright just flake on the team. He's still going to show up and go to practice, but he's definitely going to do things his way, and that's a dangerous situation for this team, and I think they've handled it the right way so far, but it could explode for them.
All right, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. Read his stuff again, bostonsportsjournal.com, and catch his appearance every Tuesday with Felger and Mass. Talk to you at 2 o'clock this Tuesday, Greg.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Later, take care. Again, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, bostonsportsjournal.com. Joe Murray's going to get you caught up here with the latest in the headlines, and we'll get the game recap and try to squeeze in a few more calls. You want to join us at 617-779-0985. As the Patriots now 4-5 on the season after tonight's 23-17 win over the Baltimore Ravens. Back after this here in the Shaw's Patriots postgame show.